Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Athens Clark County Police shot and killed an armed suspect at Virginia Walker Park last Sunday. Officers were responding to multiple calls about an armed man at Walker Park, as well as an armed carjacking on Sunday morning, according to a statement released Sunday. The release said that when the officers located the suspect in the carjacking victim's vehicle, the man got out of the car with a gun. ACCPD officers requested multiple times that the man put away the weapon, and when he refused, he was shot and killed. He was identified as 38-year-old Juan Joseph Daniel Castellano of Athens. Here to talk about that, plus the rest of the weekend news, is Blake Odd with Flagpole Magazine and Gwen O'Looney with WXAG. So this is the second person Athens Clark County Police have shot and killed this year. How does this shooting compare to February, when police shot and killed an unarmed man off Newton Bridge Road following a long standoff when he falsely implied that he had a weapon?
This guy last Sunday had a real gun. That's one thing.
And had been threatening people with it.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently, he had also been involved in some incidents on Saturday as well, where there were reports of someone walking around with a long gun trying to pick fights with strangers. And at Walker Park, he had shot at a vehicle. That was all preceding the events of Sunday morning, when apparently he was going around threatening park goers, including children, according to police, and carjacked a car, and also apparently robbed the splash pad cash box. Some witnesses were saying on social media that wasn't confirmed by the police, but you know, this was a whole 2-day thing.
This was a crime spree, a one-man crime spree, if all of these allegations are correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very different from the Newton Bridge, because Newton Bridge was in a very isolated area, came from one incident in which a man had a disagreement with his wife and drove off in the truck and was accused of stealing it by the wife called the police. In the Newton Bridge, they were there for more than an hour. It was a long thing. There was plenty of time at Newton Bridge to call for the assistance team that comes in and supposedly and de-escalates the situation and helps them discuss things with a fugitive. But this is the eighth fatal shooting we've had by police in less than a year and a half.
2.5 years. Seven fatal, one lived, but the eighth shooting, that's correct, since Chief Spruill came.
And I just feel like we have got to get the kind of commitment from the leadership on the ground. That means our chief and, of course, Blaine. I think we have it from Kelly to be a community that does the right things. And of course, on the federal level right now, we're having trouble getting to overhauling that qualified immunity for police officers that essentially says officials, and that includes elected officials, need breathing room to make reasonable mistakes. And there's no other class of people that are allowed to make mistakes that kill people. So we really need to move into a much more accountable, individually accountable situation with each officer and a stronger policies that avoid the situations in which lethal force is being used.
Well, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not concerned about this trend, because I'm very concerned about it. You know, having this many in this short of a period of time is, I don't understand why. I mean, these are split second decisions these officers have to make. And so, you know, second guessing them, it's tough. But, you know, when you have eight in a span of 2.5 years, and I've lived here for 15 years, and I can only remember one before 2019. You know, we had, there was Edward Wright, and then about 10 years went by, and there was another one where an officer saw a man holding a knife to another man's throat. Right. And then another 10 years went by, and there was another one. And then since then, we've had 7. So it's a lot.
The model, the state of the art is that you go in, you calm things down. You move all those citizens that are in the park. You know, you move them out of the way, and you just, you engage them. You talk to them. You say, you don't just say, throw your weapon down. And then you create some distance and you take cover. You do protect yourself. I don't want any policeman to get killed. And then you buy time. You don't have to fix these situations immediately.
But in this case, he had used his weapon. He had threatened people. He actually fired at a woman in her car. So he wasn't just someone that they wanted to just talk down a possible threat. He had already shown himself to be a threat.
Yeah.
And the body cam footage is going to tell us, I mean, exactly, you know, we were told that, you know, he got out of the car with the gun. You know, he was making demands. I don't know what those demands were, but I mean, the body cam footage is going to show us how aggressive he was being toward the police. You know, they said shots were fired. They didn't say who fired the first shot. You know, that'll be another thing that is going to be interesting to see. You know, did he shoot at the police? You know, did he point his gun at them? Yeah, I these are details that we need to know, and that's what the body cam footage is going to show us.
Let's move on to the commission now, because commissioners are considering a move to pay all county employees a wage of at least $15 an hour. What's the controversy there, and do we know how many people it could affect?
Yeah, apparently there are 27 positions involved. The commission had another budget work session about this on Tuesday. But it's going to be fairly expensive to bump people up to $15 an hour because of the phenomenon called wage compression, where, you know, if you got somebody who's making, you know, $14 an hour and you bump them up to 15, but then there's somebody who's been there for 5 years and they're making 15. So then you got to bump them up to 16 and on and on. So it would cost about $700,000. And the commission doesn't really have that kind of money. You know, they're talking a lot about all the things they want to add to the budget, but there's not very much that they want to take out, which is kind of the issue. It's possible they could use some of the federal stimulus funding that's recently come in to do that. But, you know, the debate, I think everybody wants to do it. You know, the debate is really around, well, should we go ahead and do it, or should we wait and do this wage compression study and do it next year?
It always comes down to money. What, you know, we need so much. We are looking at a small tax increase, which I think it's overdue. Our town has not had one in a long time, and our taxes are much lower than combined city.
I don't think they're not going to do the property tax increase.
Right, and they should, because.
But they're not going to.
Yeah. Well, let me just say that that's the way you get to do good things, because our taxes are lower than city-county combinations throughout our state, certainly in our surrounding area.
Yeah, that's a great point, Gwen, about the taxes, and that's something that Manager Williams talked to the commission about. He basically said, you know, look, we've been putting a lot of things off because y'all don't want to raise taxes. And, you know, that's fine. We're in a pandemic and the economy is not great. You know, it's kind of the reasoning behind that. So, but at the same time, you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, that Blaine Williams already cut out of the budget. And then there are things that the commission wants to restore, and even more things that the commission wants to put in. So, you know, they're really running, the budget is really a shoestring budget. And I don't think people understand how lean it is. There's not much fat on it. And so when you want to do new things, you know, there's not much there to cut. And so you've got to look at raising revenue.
A great example of this is that our parks and recreation, our leisure services have not had an increase in their staffing and their budget in years. And look at what all has come on, how much greater the Greenway has become, the Firefly Trail, the Walker Park. We've got all these new things without new money. And that is a huge mistake. We've already been moved, we've moved our maintenance of our parks, just about has all moved to Spilos. And that is not good that we let them go down for 10 years and then prop them up again. So I think they need to bite the bullet and do what they need to do to run the kind of community we want.
Well, that's going to be the last word for this week. We are out of time. Thank you guys for joining me as always. And stay with us. Athens News Matters will be right back after the break.